come this far. I just feel it. Welcome back, Gameaholics, to our Paper Mario February. This week, we are super excited to be talking about the hit GameCube classic called Paper Mario and the Thousand-Year Door.
The second edition of the Paper Mario series, obviously.
Well, interesting, it came out, like you said, 4 years after, obviously, the success that they saw from Paper Mario on the N64.
And not surprisingly, Luke, 8 years after RPG, the original.
So it's 96. a nice four-year gap, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I think they kept doing that after this one, too, with the Super Paper Mario 2. That was
well, it kind of lines up because Paper Mario, the Origami King, came out in 2020, which is also divisible by four, which also could technically fit that time frame if they were actually planning to go with that.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting fact.
Which I think actually, honestly, makes sense considering these games are more like story driven, so they have to work on the story and what they want to do with it. And I think they take, and I think that dictates how we see in the game too, because I think the game itself has just been, both these games have been amazing.
And
the game we'll talk about next week is very well done too. So I think they really work on this series and really care about it, which was good.
And I think that, so I never played, I think I did, it's interesting. So we talked about obviously Thousand Year Door and we replayed it. Both we replayed it, what, in the last week or two? So we're both fresh in our minds. But it was interesting because some of the time that I was playing Thousand Year Door, I was actually getting, like, deja vu. So I'm pretty sure I actually might have played a little bit of the game. Like, I rented it maybe a Blockbuster or something like that. Because there's parts that I remembered. Obviously, there was, like, it was the whole thing itself. I was, felt like a new experience for me. But I had those, like, almost, like, lingering memories of the game from before.
It's funny how that works, eh? Like, you just play, like, old games, and you're like, I don't really remember this, and all of a sudden you get into it, you're like, whoa, I just remember that randomly. Like, just randomly, like...
But just such a small little part,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just, like, unlock something in your brain quickly.
It's interesting because, you know, like I said, this game came out 4 years later on a different system than we saw the first game on, but we talked about this, obviously, before getting into the pod, but I find that there was a lot of copy and paste that we saw between the first game and this game specifically. Like, a lot of just kind of like, oh, let's just reskin this and shoot it out again. And that's, you know.
Yeah, I guess you can kind of say right away. So the beginning of the game is, in the original game, obviously, is Peach gets kidnapped by Bowser.
Yeah.
This game, Peach gets kidnapped by the X-Nauts. And then... you're like, oh, okay. And then you're like, I have to go find 7 crystal stars, which is the same as going just find like the
7 star spirits, which also is the 7 star pieces from RPG, which is interesting because I find in those 3 games, 7 in the Paper Mario series is such a, you know, unique number because it's 7 crystal stars, 7 stars, spirits, and now 7, like, you know, star pieces in RPG.
Maybe their big thing was like lucky number 7.
Agreed.
But and also, like, in these games, at least Paper Mario, I'm not sure about RPG yet because we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah.
I haven't played it. But at least in Paper Mario 1 and Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, the stars, every time you get one, would lock a new star, like, star points to another, like special move you can use.
So not in RPG, at least in the NES edition. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if they do that in the RPG remastered for Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't do that. So, and that's one of the things that I think, you know, but without getting too deep into talking about RPG, which we will talk about, obviously, down the road. But it seems like, you know, you started RPG, which was sort of step one. And then they move into Paper Mario, which adds a bunch of different features, makes it a little bit better, right? Like in Paper Mario, we saw the introduction of partners outside of battle with unique abilities, which we didn't see in RPG. We talked about the whole paper aspect, which is something that we didn't see, obviously, in RPG either. We talked about a lot of different pieces that we see. Like in RPG, you have to go between different parts on a map like you would in, like, how do I say it? Like you would in like the old school Mario games where it kind of does that map with the different points and you just kind of move to different locations. Whereas in Paper Mario, it's open world.
Yeah.
Right. And then when we see, I think some of the key changes, if we want to kind of maybe quickly talk about it in Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, is I think they just expanded on a lot of the features, but I think they also introduced the side quests, right? Which, you know, the House of, what's it called again?
Trouble.
Yeah, the House of Trouble, which is like basically like where you get your side quests from.
Yeah.
They introduced, and I don't know if you found it or tried it, the 100 Floors of Terror or whatever.
Yes, I didn't Okay, so by accident I got in there, and I said, well, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I didn't do it either.
I think I got to like the fifth floor, and I said, I'm going to hit the reset button on this because I don't want to be stuck in here anymore.
So I went to, I'll tell you what, I went to floor, I want to say like 60.
Oh, you try to beat it?
Well, so I tried is a very...
You just got kind of annoyed.
Well, no. So what happened was there's one of the troubles that you can do, and basically you have to find this guy on floor 25.
Oh, okay.
So I was at floor 25 and I was like, I'm one quarter of the way through. So I'm just going to...
Just try,
right? See what happens. Then I got to floor 65 and I just said, I'm so bored. I'm just going to leave.
Was it getting more and more challenging?
Yeah, of course. But like, it was still just like annoying. And then you have to like, you know, you can find these little slug people who will like take you down extra floors for money. And then you can find vendors down there and like, oh, you want a mushroom? It's 80 coins. And you're like, what the fuck? So like, it would be, I think, easy enough to do if you prepared for it. Like if you actually bought items and everything like that. But and then also at the 50th floor, the other reason I went down to 50 is you get a sick...
badge?
No, item bag extension.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That would have been huge to have.
I know. So the 50th floor doubles your item bag capacity.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That would have been so massive going into some boss fights.
So I read that and I was like, okay, since I've read that, I'm going to try to go down and get it. So I did and I got it. And then I kept going a little bit more and I was just like, I'm so bored right now that I am just not interested in doing this. And I gave up.
Yeah.
But to be fair, like I kind of...
You just like automatically just force yourself to lose or...
No, I just... Every 10th floor you can leave.
Oh, okay.
So I got to 60 and I left.
Okay.
But what I was going to say that was super interesting in like going back to my, you know, initial point is these are things that they've added into Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door that wasn't in the original. Was just kind of these extra things that you could do.
I liked it because like that like gave me like vibes of like those like... Those early like RPGs, like those early
JRPGs.
No, not even first person shooters where you're like, hey, like let's just add like a wave aspect.
Yeah.
And you're gonna sit there like in Halo and just fight waves of like alien soldiers for like hours.
Well, and it's friends. So
it kind of gave me that vibe when you're like, oh, you can just go into a gauntlet for whatever reason.
And I Googled it, and did you know that you know it takes about 2.5 hours to finish that. That's what people are saying.
What happens at the end?
You just get like a badge or something like that. And you fight like another dragon. Because you know how you fight Hooktail and Gloomtail? I think it's like their other brother, like Firetail or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But like there's a dragon at the bottom. Interestingly enough, I don't know if you ever... Like I don't know if you were pretty heavy using Goombella on like Tattle.
No, never.
Okay, so I used Tattle for everything, right? Like I tattled on everybody. And there's actually a page now that's like the tattle log, and you can see every person you've tattled on, and a bunch of them are actually only found in the pit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they actually have different enemies than you would see outside of that.
It was interesting to me because like with like Goombella, I know everyone used her for like hints.
Yeah.
I feel like I played the game like completely blind.
Can I tell you a secret?
Which was amazing. I love that I could just figure out everything by myself. I definitely like understand why she's there. And it actually, speaking of like hint and stuff like that, like so far I'm playing Origami King and I've been using a lot of hints for that because she's just right there to click on.
Yeah. You just
tap
her.
But like Goombella, like I'm just like, oh, like after I started unlocking other like
partners,
I was like, oh, I don't really need her. I don't think I used her once after I unlocked the second partner. I'm not even kidding.
Well, can I tell you something?
What?
I never used Goombella for hints either. I just used her for Tattle because I loved knowing what the health of enemies was.
Yeah, no, that'd be nice. I just like, I was thinking about that, but I was like, ah, I'm like, there can't be anything higher than like 50. Boy, was I wrong later on.
Yeah,
but like, I used to like actually like. I remember, like, I got to a few... I lost in a couple fights, and I said, boy, that's annoying. But I know, like, there's certain ports where, like, parts where, like, the boss was like, you think you're pretty tough, eh? Like, let me try this move. I'm like, all right, he's getting close to, like, being done.
Yeah.
Then he has to get through it.
Yeah, but for me, it was just so much easier to actually, like, dictate and understand exactly how to run a fight if I knew how much health they had, which I get for you. But like, if I'm like, okay, he's 50, I need to be careful, or he's 100, I need to do this, 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 and this. Like, for me, it was just very helpful being able to actually like plan out the fight based on that.
Totally. Yeah.
And I found that, you know, it came into what's it called? Like a lot of help going into some of the bosses, for sure.
Especially if like you die once or twice, at least you know, like going in the second time, you're like, okay, I know he has this much health going in, or whatever the case is.
Well, and that so
that's
was...
true. Like, that's something I would look at it for sure. Like, oh, I can play into for this reason and things like that. But I don't know. I just was like, I think like it, if Kumbel was, I don't know if Kumbel was your ride or die like character, like side character. If she was, like, I mean, I understand why, because it like helps. For myself, I just used Vivian a lot.
I don't. That's shocking to me.
She's so good in battle and combat.
I don't. I. It's crazy. I didn't see it.
Her. Did you upgrade all your partners?
Everybody. Yeah.
I did too. Her upgrade was in, like, OP. Like, it literally lights everyone on fire and does like 6 damage every time.
Okay.
And you know what move I used constantly? I don't know if you use this strat. This strat's, like, I looked online for a few fights just to see how they did it.
Yeah.
This strat was so broken after I figured out how to use it properly. It's, you use the star power of power lift, where you just like boost your like your attack and defense.
Okay.
And you use clean.
No, after I never. That.
You,
I never.
After you light, you can, because you can get like +3/+4 attack. Jeez. And it lasts like 3 turns.
So you just chew through
it. Oh yeah, you use like a special move a couple times and everyone's dead.
I always used Captain Bobberty. Bobberty?
I used to use my second guy.
Because if you use his bomb, it does like 8 damage to everybody. His bomb is crazy. His bomb attack. And that's all I used when I was in there, is I would just do bomb. It would just clear all the adds normally.
I didn't like his like special move, though.
Body slam?
No, you didn't body slam. You had bomb squad.
Oh, I hated that one, too.
Where but he, his like, sec- projectile. And his second one was like, if anyone hits him, they get exploded.
No, the second one was the explosion.
Yeah, yeah. They went to hit him.
No.
It explodes.
No, the last one is he has a bomb attack, and he just runs over, and you mash A as hard as you can, and it fills up the meter, and it like is 9 damage to everybody.
Yeah, that's his normal move.
No, he doesn't hit anybody, though. That's his last move. That's his final move. It's called bomb.
No, that's his first move.
No, it's worth 9 FP. It's his last one. I'll guarantee you.
Is it like his second one?
Yeah.
Oh, you upgraded twice.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So yeah.
That's like Bomberette or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Bombette. Yeah. It's like, yeah, her last whatever. Yeah. But like, it just, that was what I used to clean.
It didn't, oddly enough, like Marlin didn't let me like upgrade anyone after the first time.
I was like, what?
Okay. I upgraded everyone and I'm like,
yeah,
I have all the star points. Like, what am I going to use with these then?
So I really hated that. And I'll tell you what it was. Once you do that, she'll give you a hint and it's stupid. And the hint is like, you need to go back to Hooktail's castle.
Oh, yeah, she did say that, yeah.
And find this door that can be broken opened. And then when you blow it open, you get, like, this orb. And then you give the orb to Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, oh, okay, I guess I can upgrade everybody now. That's literally how you... I agree, that is so dumb.
I didn't know that because I upgraded them all, and then I remember he gave me the hints, and I was like, oh. And then I went and got, obviously, Miss Meow.
Yeah.
But Miss Meow, I went up there, and I found it, and I was like, I guess this is what Marlon was talking about. And I went back, and then he's like, nope. And I was like, oh.
So it's like, do you remember the part in Hooktail's Castle? This is super specific. But do you remember the part in Hooktail's Castle where there's the 3 jail cells? And that's when you first learn to do the half slide.
Oh, yeah.
It's in one of those jail cells. There's a door that you can blow up.
Oh, really? I didn't
know. And then, yeah, no, I know.
Is it red?
No, it's just crack bomb. It's like a crack in the wall.
Oh, okay.
And like, you use Captain Bobberty or whatever and he'll blow it up.
Okay.
But like, it was, when I watched that, I was like, I Googled that too because I didn't know what to do and I just Googled it. I was like, I need to figure this out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I find a lot of, I will say a lot of their second abilities were meh, but Captain Bobberty's was just the best one. Like, his was just the absolute best one.
Vivian's was so good for me.
But you didn't get both for her, though. You only got
and the first one's sick, too, because she just snaps her finger. Everyone lights on fire, does, like, 6 damage each, and they take one hit.
From
like,
the...
Yeah.
So
she would clean.
I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because it just reminded me about something. One thing that I didn't love about this game that we saw as a change, I would say, from the first Paper Mario is the interactivity that you see with the stage itself. I don't know if that bothered you at all, But all of a sudden, it would be like sprinklers would start spraying, and I would freeze. And I'm like, "Are you joking me?"
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, so listen, there was a fight with Cortez.
Yeah.
And I like prepped, and I was like, I was not the dude. That stuff bothered me so much, and it made no sense sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Because
like, I would go into a fight, and if I saw the like spray steam in the air, I said, "Oh, good. There's gonna be a random point where I can't hit them because the mist is gonna come on." But for some reason, they'll be able to hit me through the mist. For some reason.
Well, the mist never ends either. That's the worst part. Like, you'll be in like two levels away, the mist will appear. And I'm like, am I causing this to happen? Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
Well, that Cortez fight, I was almost done with it. And then it didn't let me hit three times in a row. And then he hit me twice through the mist somehow. And then I was like, oh. And then I died. And I just reset the game because I'm like, okay, I'm like, let me just reset it now because I'm not going to be able to finish this fight. And I'll just start again.
And even like, I find.
And it's random. It is random.
But even like the audience members, like, you know, like that just felt to me like it was so over the top. And I think they realize that because in Origami King, no spoilers, obviously, but they remove all that sort of stuff from the audience and stuff from like the stage itself. And I was just, there was times where I'd be like, oh yeah, good, of course, both my guys are fucking frozen for seven fucking turns now all of a sudden. And then they're just like railing on me because they're both somehow not affected, the enemies are not affected by it.
Yeah.
And I would sometimes wipe to like normal enemies because it would freeze both my guys. Like it would freeze Mario and my partner. And then I would just get like five turns of just getting my fucking skull fucked.
And you can't block.
No, you can't. And then it's, ugh. Anyways, like, I was really disappointed with that stuff. Or when the audience members are trying to throw shit at you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, could it be a heart? And, like, you need to scan the audience. Or, like...
And if you're too slow or you move something, they just throw it regardless.
Or an audience member will run into the rafters and drop a fucking light on you. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's, like, it's always, like, a shy guy doing that.
Or a boo will come and make you invisible or make the other people invisible.
So, but I don't hate when he gives me invisibility.
Okay, yeah, that's sure. Nice. Yeah. But, like, yeah. Like, it's, like, 50-50.
Yeah.
But regardless, I thought that the quote-unquote stage mechanics were so fucking annoying.
There was cool, like, things with the stage that were, like, they did overuse it a couple times, though, where, like, the boss fight, like, be like, oh, I'm almost done. And then they just eat, like, the enemies in the crowd, like, Hooktail.
Or yeah, like, okay, I mean,
or like,
sure.
Or like,
Gloomtail?
I don't know if Gloomtail did it. I think I'd beat him up too fast before he got the chance. But there was,
there's somebody that, like, sucked them all in.
Yeah, there was, was it Magnus Von Grapple 2.0?
Oh, okay,
was
yeah, Lord yeah. Crump. It sucks them all in.
But it's hilarious because Lord Crump's such, like, a pushover boss. It's like, whatever, like...
It does
but,
so much damage.
It does so much damage, yeah, because you have to, like, block it perfectly. Yeah, and if you don't, it just hits you constantly. I almost died twice to that one.
So don't get me wrong. There was some stuff that was engaging like that, right? I will. Yeah. Sure, I'll say that. But
or
also...
Even the final one, the Shadow Queen, she eats everyone, I think, at one point. Or like, grabs everyone, like, sucks their souls out.
And
which is nuts.
And again, I think that was, for me, a quality of life update that didn't hit. I thought the Pit of 100, whatever, didn't hit either. The, you know, Troubles were okay. That's how you get, which, interestingly enough, like, I can't believe you figured it out on your own, because I didn't. But you actually can get Miss Meows, who is, in theory, a secret party member, right? Like, kind of a secret party member.
Yeah, like, but with her, like, it just hinted to it, like, multiple times throughout, like, the first two chapters, where she would just, like, randomly be, like, her music would come on, and she's like, hey, like, I'm here taking badges, and it's like, okay.
And then kisses you on the neck, and then runs away.
Yeah, she actually would, and then you just know at some point she was going to be, like, somehow, like, maybe tied in as a playable character.
Yeah, fair.
And then... Yeah, I went to the trouble thing. I went down and said, looking for a super secret badge. I'm like, well, this is obviously the mouse girl.
But did you know that she was going to...
Join?
Yeah. Join your team?
I assumed, yeah.
Crazy. See, I did. Like, that was all new for me. Like, I...
Because I went up to her and she's like, I'm looking for this badge. Like, I couldn't find it. Can you, like, go back to Hooktail's place? I'm like, yeah, I did it. And then she's like, wow, you're really good at finding this. Like, I'm going to stick around with you for a while. I'm like, yeah, that seemed like a layup to happen.
I really...
And she runs the badge shop, which is funny.
Yeah,
now.
I really didn't like, though... Talking about the troubles, how they would be like, go to this town first and then go to this town and drop it off. That was literally what 90% of the troubles were.
And it was I only did a few of them.
Yeah, they were annoying.
There was some cool hidden stuff too that I wanted to do, and I just didn't know if I wanted to waste my money on it. And there's that one guy in town where every time you come back from a chapter, he changes his wares. And there's options to, like, pick up free badges. Well, not free, but, like, it wouldn't count as BP points.
Oh, right.
And it was to change your uniform.
Yeah, there's a Wario one.
Yeah, you could Wario. You could do Waluigi.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. And there's Luigi too in the shop, I think.
I wanted to get a Waluigi one, but I couldn't, but he never had it. He had Wario open multiple times for like 360, and I was like, I want to spend the money because I had it.
Yeah,
but I didn't know if that would come up later. I need that money. I'm like, oh, I just spent it on this stupid like badge.
And,
like,
well, I mean, there was also, for example, I found a little rat boy who was like, give me $100 to invest in my business. And
I did. I never seen him again.
No, neither did I. And I don't know if I got scammed, but like another one.
I bet if you go back after the game, he might be back there now, and you can like talk to me like, oh, here's like $10,000.
You would assume for 100 coins that it wouldn't be a scam, you know what I mean? But maybe it was, because I never saw that 100 coins
maybe
again.
Maybe we just Google that real quick.
It would be very interesting to know, but like,
I am actually fascinated by that, because I have to assume at some point he's like, hey, I actually didn't scam you, here's like, they probably like put in the game like a hidden thing where it's like, here's 10 grand, and I go, oh, you're like, sweet, so you like triple my profit or whatever the case is. But maybe not. Like, I think they're just like little, like neat little like tidbits in the game like that. Or like, what was the other thing that really like I always like noticed? And I'm like, oh.
Okay, so interesting. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So I'm just reading this now. So apparently, if Mario gives him 100 coins, Lumpy will bring him back 300 coins 2 chapters later. If he gives him 200, he goes to 600. And if he if you give him 300 coins, he will give you the maximum of 1,000 coins.
That's pretty nice. But I never saw him again, which is weird. Where was he at?
I don't know either. Like, it's very, I have no idea where you find him afterwards, because I did pay him.
I did too.
And I never saw the money again, but it looks like he triples your money.
It's nice.
Another interesting side thing they did in the game, though, was the Luigi storyline. And Luigi's storyline was so funny because he's doing his own 7-point quest. Yeah. He always has a different companion who, when you talk to them, they hate him. Or they're just like, he's a liar. I'm just here because he owes me money. Like, it's so fucking funny.
It was so good. And then there's like, I think there was one of them, I was like, I'm just worried about him. I'm tagging along with him because I think he's going to get himself in trouble.
Yeah, I know. It's so, I never got to hear the end of the story, though. I don't know if you ever got to.
No.
So I'm sure. So interestingly enough.
No, the last part I heard was he's like, I'm going to go finally see her.
Yeah. And in the shop, though, at the end of the game, you can buy his memoirs.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
I didn't buy them either,
but I wonder if you buy that, you can read the rest of the story or all of the story and, like, catch up, right? But, I mean, just small things like that are really nice touches I find in this game.
I didn't like, though, when you talk to people for too long, your Mario just falls asleep on them. I'm like...
I know.
Like, I get it when, like, they do, like, the hidden jokes where, like, where it's like, anyways, a long story, blah, 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 and it says some hours late and your guy's asleep then. That makes sense. But, like, when it's, like... Luigi's like, yeah, bro, it was a crazy story, bro. Do you want to hear the story? And you're like, yeah, I do. And then all of a sudden, like, Mario's literally 30 like, seconds into you reading it, he just falls asleep. Yeah. You're like, okay.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Mario.
Like, he's talking right to you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, but but the other thing is that happens so much in this game, I find. Like, he falls asleep to so many people, too. Like, it's not just one or two. Okay, storyline-wise, I think each of the chapters was very unique in its own way. Right, like chapter one, I feel like was very cookie cutter in terms of like what you had to do. Chapter two, bringing in sort of the punies and the amount of them that you needed to open doors and stuff was also very cool.
There's annoying though sometimes when they wouldn't like cooperate the AI.
Yeah,
like, you lose a couple and you're like, why are you up here still? Like,
and
come out.
Chapter three was for me the worst one. Right,
I like the gauntlet.
The gauntlet, just the fight club.
And I kind of liked it though, because the mystery where you think everyone's dead.
Yeah,
you find their bodies up top.
That was sick. Well, okay, I would love, so maybe want to talk about the Yoshi color thing, because that was crazy when you taught me about that.
Yeah, so another like hidden thing, I guess, was like, you got a Yoshi during the gauntlet in chapter, so chapter three, mm-hmm. and you can name it and everything like that. It comes out of a little egg, but based on when you get the egg, and when you essentially, like, if you hold on to the egg and don't, like, maybe play, like, really quickly, just kind of go AFK for, like, maybe 20 minutes, you can get a black Yoshi. So it kind of breaks it down, like, by rarest, like, colors, I guess. So 1 through 6 minutes only is a green Yoshi, like a standard Yoshi that we all know. I think through 7 to 9 is red. 10 to, like, 12 is, like, I think it was yellow, and I think from like 15 to 20 was black. I don't think there's any other colors you can get, but yeah, it was pretty cool that like you based on like that you can get different skin color or a different skin for your like mm-hmm. actual like Yoshi in a sense, which was pretty neat. So like if you really like playing Super Smash Bros. And like you'd always change it to like maybe like a pink Yoshi,
it's just a nice
like
touch.
You have the option to get a pink Yoshi or whatever.
It's
the
just
case
a nice
is.
Touch. Like that was very, very cool.
Yeah.
The okay. So that was an awesome. You liked that chapter. I didn't love it because it was just like you just sit in the room and then just keep doing different fights.
I thought it was just good because like I was like they like kept your suspense with like what's going on.
True.
And it's like there's like something going on in this place. Like it's not a normal place.
And so
but then I didn't like it because it is cookie cutter where you're fighting basically a tub of blubba in chapter 3, just
yeah.
like in Mario. Yeah.
And so chapter 4 was probably my favorite, where you go to Twilight Town and the Duplis, right? Like, and you know, I remember similar to you. You finish the Twilight Town chapter, you kill Duplis, and you're like, I remember you texting me, like, that was so fast. Why was that one so quick? And then sure enough, it ends this whole crazy thing about how you actually got turned into Shadow Mario, and you need to find Duplis's name, and then Vivian joins your team because you were nice to her. Anyways, it was like, I thought that chapter was sick, and the Twilight people were creepy as fuck.
I didn't like the chapter.
Why?
Okay, I like the plot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that you had to go back and forth like 6 times, it felt like.
Okay, I was actually saving that for the end of this.
It bothered me so much.
So I was actually saving that for the end of this game.
Because this chapter was fun. But then it was just like, oh yeah, go back to the castle now. I think there's like a little hidden room like underneath. And you're like, oh. So you go back. And then you're like, okay, you have to go back now with you found his name. But I think I ended up by accident because I couldn't find it or something like that. Or I went back once.
Mm-hmm.
I think I ended up going back like, I felt like I went back 3 times.
You do.
At least.
You have to. But I find.
Oh yeah, because you have to run back after to fight him again yeah. there. Yeah, that's why you go
so
back.
So I actually, what I want to say is I felt that was one of the things I thought was the weakest part of this entire game was not just in this chapter. It was in a lot of chapters where you constantly keep going back and forth. The enemies keep respawning and you keep needing to kill them over and over and over again. And for me, I was like, so yes, this chapter was horrible for it, but I think a lot of the chapters were really bad for it.
Oh yeah. Like if I could, a lot of times I try to like avoid those
like
fights.
So the island, which is the next chapter where you're on the island.
Yeah.
That stupid part where you have to go up the like side of the cliff. You have to do that like 4 times. And it's every time the stupid piranhas are there again and the fuzzies are there again. And I'm just like, actually just like mind boggled.
I got pretty good by like dodging them with like Yoshi, just riding them.
Yeah, yeah.
But like sometimes you'd like try to freeze them up and they just pop up right in front of you. You're like, oh.
So I think that was the enemy AI stuff was so annoying. And it's just like, if you have just been there very recently, those enemies should not respond that quickly.
Even if you leave the area and come back. Yeah, because I agree. Because like, a few times, like you said, like a few times, yeah, like I immediately leave the area and go back in and they're there again. I'm
right there with you, man. There with you.
And I get it because it's for like level grinding, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And like you want to max out, but like you don't need to. Like if you like time your fights properly, you don't have to be fully jacked up. Like I've seen like playthroughs of people like having 10 health the whole time, which is insane.
Yeah, but like it's just, I don't know. For me, I'm glad you actually pointed that out because I was going to bring that up at the end. But that for me, like I find that wasn't really the case in the first Paper Mario game in terms of like going back and forth and blah, 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 blah. It just, it didn't feel like that in Paper Mario 64.
Okay, yeah. Like the one thing that bothered me too with that is it wasn't even the fact that you had to go back and forth on the same chapter. It was the thing that pissed me off. Was the most frustrating was that last chapter where you go to the moon and they're like, go find like the Captain Bombery or whatever. And you'll go to every single place you already been and walk the whole area basically.
Yes.
And he's like,
Admiral.
Yeah, I think I saw him here.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I think I saw him. Oh, I guess he's going home now. It's like, oh.
Then he finds out he's just in the shit shack.
Yeah, he's
like,
in his sleep. He's sleeping. And that's so funny, by the way. So I kept jumping on him, and then I'm like, maybe he's not gonna wake up. So I say no. He's like, did it feel good trying to wake someone up? Did you feel good doing that? I hope you felt bad. Like it basically makes you feel bad.
Yeah, it's like.
Then I said, okay, there has to be a reason. So I kept hitting him until basically he woke
up. The humor in the game was really good.
Humor is amazing. It's insult humor again.
But the thing isn't
the coolest thing to do nowadays.
I was gonna say just finishing quickly. Like I mean, 6th one, the island one, I thought was okay. The island one wasn't great for me. I know that was frustrating for you, the Cortez side of things.
That was chapter 5.
Yeah.
Chapter 6 was...
chapter 6 was the... Chapter 6 was
the train, right?
Yeah, exactly. That one was cool. I actually liked that one. But yeah, again, similar to what you said, you kept going after going back and forth in that one. Like, constantly going back and forth between everything. I did like the train station. I like the fuzzy attack on the train while it's moving. I liked all that stuff.
Funny that when you're on the train, though, Duplass is back and he, like, wants to, like, get revenge on you.
Yeah.
And then you find out it's him.
Yeah.
Zip-toed.
And he's just like, I only sign for hot girls. I don't sign my pictures for boys. Because remember, we have to find the little bomb boy's idol, and it was the engineer the whole time. I found that by accident. I didn't know it was the engineer.
I kept going. I clicked on everyone until eventually it worked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then it worked. And he was just like, this is the exact one I wanted.
But I like how the detective's like, definitely the Bombery family.
And so like you said, he kind of talked about finding General White and everything like that, like the bomb. But I thought the moon level for me was like kind of one of the more annoying ones. Like
I kind of liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it was just like.
There's hidden things in it again, which is so fun.
What do you mean?
If you go up into the vent, when you jump up
Did
you see what I did when you fall through?
Like, I did that too,
And you turn into like an 8-bit. That was cool. The music plays.
So I'm going to give you one small hint.
What?
That happens in RPG and that happens in Origami King. I think it's like a running joke that they do where it's in...
Was it in the original Paper Mario, you think?
Maybe.
Like hidden somewhere?
Because it was in... I'll tell you what. It was in like the Super Nintendo RPG.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you stay at it for a while?
No. But like regardless, it's very similar to what is in that one where you don't stay in it really for a while.
Yeah, as soon as you leave the room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but and it's in Origami King too.
Yeah.
So it's very, very awesome. I think that that's super cool. The end of the game, we've talked about the similarities between Paper Mario 64 and obviously now Thousand Year Door. And we kind of see that thing where when that fight with Bowser, when he has the 7 star spirits, initially you need to like, you know, get Princess Peach's wish and you get Twink in there and all of a sudden it just sort of like Mario becomes overpowered. It's that whole, the villain's going to win, but the power of friendship brings you through it. And that happens in this one as well. But I think they did it a lot better in this one. Like, I was actually vibing to it when there was just, like, all of these people that you've helped are kind of just, like, trying to cheer Mario on.
Yeah.
And I actually love the final boss. I think she looked creepy as hell.
And it was hard.
Yeah, it was
hard. That sequence is hard because it's not the fact that you fight, what's his name, Grumptus or something like that?
Yeah, Grotus.
Grotus?
Yeah.
You fight Grotus and then immediately have to fight Bowser. It's like, ugh, those type of bosses are so
challenging. Bowser shredded you, right? Like, yeah, and then you have to redo both fights.
He shredded me because I was half health already and I had no star points or anything. I said, oh, good. No FP. I was like, awesome. I was like, and I had no like items to like feed myself to like to restore.
You know,
it.
I found that I was not good with the items.
I was set up so okay. Here's the thing. Going into chapter 8, I was set up so well. I was so ready for the boss fight. I didn't realize I had to do 3 boss fights in there. I didn't have to fight Gloomtail. No, sorry. Four, kind of. You had to fight Duplass and the two witches
again. Like, I even found that those gold cannons
were so annoying.
Very challenging.
Yeah.
Like, their defense was like 6 or something like that.
I just ran away.
Yeah.
Every time. I don't care about the 4 coins at this point.
No. And, like, I mean, they did give you a ton of experience points, though. Like, it'd be like 30 experience points.
I think I leveled up twice in chapter 8.
Yeah. You go hard.
I'll tell you what, going into chapter 8, because I went blind. I just assumed as soon as you got through the door, you'd get into like the final like stage of the game.
Me too.
I didn't think, hey, you're gonna have to do a whole new like riddles and everything again. I said,
oh. I did like the riddle chapter, by the way.
I did like doing that. Yeah. And then at first I didn't save before my fight with Duplass and the two like witches. And I was thrown off. I didn't expect
that. Did you beat them?
No, I lost. I had to do all the puzzles.
Can I tell you what? They were so hard for me too. Like, I fought the 3 of them and I think I honestly finished with 2 health.
Yeah, I was like, what happened to me? Guess what?
What?
This stupid mist came up midway through. And I said, no.
But like, yeah, it's the, yeah.
And so what happened was I lost. And then I was like, wait, did I save? Because I got out of the chapter.
Right.
And I was at the save block before I opened up like the basically.
So you had to do all 8 again.
Oh, I had to do all 8. But I flew through
but
it.
But how
time.
Mad were you though?
I was pretty, I actually took a break. I got up and I said, I'm not playing this right now.
I'll tell you what, I don't remember what part I did that at, but I did that before.
As soon as I reset, I'm like, I didn't save. And then I saw myself at the save block before I even like broke like the pipes with Bombery. Yeah. I said, I'm not doing this right now.
And then, but so, I don't, chapter 8, I thought, like, I did think the end was really good. Although one thing that we should talk about is kind of like the like weird sexual obsession that we kind of saw with all of almost all the female partners in Mario. Like, you know what I mean? You sort of have that Mario. Mario was kissed by 50 different women 100 times during that game, which was kind of weird on its own.
I would say like half of them were like damsel in distress type of thing. Like Vivian was kind of like thrown away from her sisters and you're like, I'll be your friend. And then so she felt like a connection there, I guess. And then
the Goombella
was like your damsel in distress where like she's like about to get like beat up by all these dudes.
No, I disagree. The Goombella one, I actually read a cool theory on it because I Googled it. Remember, because we talked about this where I didn't think that Goombella's like, I have to tell you something, Mario, but she never did. And you thought it was a crush, and I said, I don't think it's a crush. But I Googled it, and they're like, yeah, we think it's a crush, but it's more, she's like, you know, a university student. So it's like one of those kind of things where it's just like a harmless, almost like, I don't want to say a childhood crush, but like kind of, right? Like
teen crush?
Yeah, like a teen crush on like a celebrity, right? So it was just, I don't know, I thought that was weird at the end where it was like, okay, if just Vivian admitted her love, that'd be fine. But then kind of doubling down with Goombella at the same time was kind of just like, why?
Yeah.
But last thing kind of I want to talk about, main thing for me, is like one of the things we talked about in Paper Mario 64 is once you finish that Bowser's Castle fight, it's over, right? And you can't go back and you can't do other stuff and it's whatever. The very cool thing about this game is once you beat the game and you want to load back in, you actually take the boat back to Rogueport. Everybody's waiting for you. Goombella's like, hey, we all came back. We want to help you. And you can just kind of almost do like post-game, end-game grinding.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very, very cool. And a great quality of life update.
I also like in this game how like you can actually like have more conversations and dialogue options. Where like you can be like, yeah, let's go. Or like, no, not at all. Or like you can be, so there's a positive and negative comment.
But
on
you
every
said
time.
It. You said you did all the negatives. You said.
Oh, that was funny.
But nothing changed.
No, like one was like with like the little like puny. He's like, "Are you gonna eat us?" And I said, "Yeah, maybe." And then your partner will always kick up. He's like, "That's not cool, man. That's not funny. I look hot." Like I had Koops out for like 90% of these conversations by accident, yeah. And Koops like and Koops hates me now. Because he's like Mario, like I really look up to you. I feel like it's not cool that you would say that.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah, but it was so funny because nothing changes. But like the actually fun fact. Yeah. So I saved before I fought the Shadow Queen.
Yeah,
and when Princess Peach is like obviously the Shadow Queen for a second, she's talking to you.
Yeah,
if she says, "I like you, like I think you'd be a good minion for me. Like, what do you think?" And you say yes or no.
Yeah,
I said yes, and the game just goes game over.
No.
Yeah,
that's very funny.
Yeah, so as soon as you say yes, it just says it goes black and it shows like the whole town's getting like destroyed, and it says game
over. Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's very cool. That is very cool.
And I'm like, oh. Like, you see the shadow going over the towns. Yeah. Like, what's happening? And all of a sudden it goes black and says, game over.
And I also really liked about kind of the ending is how Goombella writes you that note. And in that note, she says what everybody's doing. And I loved how it ends up being Madame Fleury is, like, back to the stage. And Duplass is playing Mario.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny.
You know what's more funny, too? So Duplass's, like, Mario character looks like he's, like, pushed over. Like, yeah. I thought it was because... That's what you kind of look like when you're, like, low health.
Yeah.
So I thought when I killed him, my health was just too low. So I'm like, oh, maybe he just looks like this because of that by accident. But yeah. No, it's just him, like, shadow or, like, dark Mario. But it's funny, though, too, is Duplass' character was, like, kind of, like, I just, like, I think it's so funny because he keeps calling you slick. And then the best is when he's now, like, kind of taken Vivian's spot with the two, like, shadow, like,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
the
yeah,
sirens. Yeah. And the one's, like... Shut up, freak in the sheet. That's your name now. And he's like, he always like comment, like, I always like when they like, I don't know how to describe it, but like they did really well with like the actual dialogue where like it would actually be him trying to pipe up. He's like, well, no, my name's actually, and she's like, shut up. Did I say you could talk?
Yeah, it's like the it's, little,
fox yeah, yeah, it's whatever. Like smaller fox. He's whispering it.
And you kind of mentioned this before. One of the ones that had me howling was the three Goombas in the sewers when you're with Goombella. And there's like, what's a hot Goomba like you doing with a tubby old man like that? And yeah. I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, they just went for it.
Yeah, some of the insult humor was hilarious. And like, again, I honestly do think the story in this game is kind of better than the first Paper Mario. But I think there was so much copying done. And I think on that note, like, do you want to jump into the ratings? Are we good with that? I don't know if there's anything else we're kind of missing.
No, I really like the game. Let's jump in.
Let's jump in. All right. So we talked about characters right off the bat.
And well, let's okay. So just to recap, Paper Mario 1.
Well, I was going to say it. So Paper Mario 1, I did 3.5 because the characters didn't really have a lot of growth in that one. I actually would say now that we sort of have that rounded out ending where we saw a lot of these characters grow, like Vivian turning away from her sister. We saw, you know, like Madame Fleury getting the courage to go back to the stage. One of the biggest ones that we didn't really talk about was Admiral Bomery when he finds a note from his dead wife being like, don't blame yourself for this, like sail the sea. And like, you know, he becomes like a sea captain again.
Yeah.
I thought there's a lot of growth in here versus the other one.
There's more like storytelling.
I mean,
sure.
Let's be honest. I cannot give this a five because no. Obviously, you know, when you think about a five and you think about, I'll go four though. Like it's definitely better than one because we have a lot of those rounded out storylines now.
I'd say 3.5. So I go a little higher than three last time.
Yeah.
Same concept. Like there's more like story to it and they actually show you at the end what happens. And obviously, Koops goes back to his little village and like gets together with Koopa Koo and his dad's alive, which is cool.
And so I gave, you know, Paper Mario 64, I gave it a 4 on the background just because I thought there were some aspects that were still missing. This is going to be lower for me. Background was worse in this one because of the fact that you had to keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. It really, I think, in my opinion, hurt a lot of kind of like the background where I was like, fuck, I have to go through this stupid thing again, fight these stupid whatever's again, and it was just annoying. So that was a 4. I'm actually gonna go 3 on the background here because I realized you probably should have gone first, but 3 on the background here just because I actually felt it was missing a lot.
I'd stay a 4 still. I think I was still good. Like I think they added side quests, which was cool. Cool concept. Like I think like the background didn't really affect it because I still think it looked it looked better than Paper Mario 1 for me. Paper Mario 64.
And just to be devil's advocate here, the side quests to me felt cheap. Hey, go back here and talk to this person, then go here and give them that. It's like...
Yeah, fair, but I think, like, it's, like, again, like, it's limited with the map they have. It's not, like, an open-world concept.
Yeah, fair.
It's not like you're playing, like, Ocarina of Time where, like, you can just go, like, to different, like, spots, nope. Actually.
Totally fair.
So I think, like, again, like, for a 2D game that's, like, legit, like, you have to kind of do stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I think they did it well with what it is, and they upgraded from what the original game was, and that's... aspect. Is the background like a 5 like I said for some reason last week? No. But hey, it's still like I think it's still like decent like for what the game is. Sound, I really like the sound actually. I thought the sound was really well done. I don't think it was anything special. I think a lot of it was the same, but I do like how bosses had different boss music. I liked how like there's certain spots like in Twilight Town where there's like no music at all, but made a little more eerie, which I did like. So and you know what? Actually, I don't know if you'd call this into the background, Luke, and I'm just backtracking real quick, but with, like, emails and, like, reading about, like, people's stories, that would be characters more.
No, I did like that, too, like, where you kind of have, like, the like, what's it called, the Rogue Port Gazette mail. Or whatever.
Yeah, I liked when, like, random people would message you, like, the Boo in, like, Twilight Town's, like, castle was like, thanks for letting my friends out,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Like, we're all chilling out, yeah, picture I mean, them
I think
all
it's
together.
I think it's a nice sort of, like, background thingy, but...
I don't think the music did anything better. It's basically the same, so 3.5 is fine for me.
That's fair. And, you know, I will probably go the 3 on it as well. Like, it was catchy Mario tunes, but it was nothing that I think broke the world. Yeah. I will give... So, replayability, I gave 2.5 on this one just because of the fact that they didn't have that save point before. This time, I want to give it a lot more. Because, obviously, for that replayability, getting back in there, trying the trials of 100 floors, doing all of the... troubles. There was so much kind of extra stuff to do in this game that really was helpful. So I will probably go honestly a 4 on the replayability scale just because I think a lot of people would go back in there and finish up some of the stuff that they maybe didn't do before.
I was actually going to say 4 as well.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is too, I don't know if this will be like kind of in replayability. It's fun that like they kind of continue the story in a sense where you get back from like your ship and like your Goombella's like, hey, we're all here. We were waiting for you. Let's go hang out again type of thing. So we're all going to like be together again, so that was kind of cool. Story, I think, again, like I don't think it's like worse. I think it's actually, I think a lot of it like hooked me more than the actual one. And again, I wouldn't play the original one, I just watched it, but like I think this one, like maybe just playing it, I think was more like engaging for me. So I want to say 5 again. I think this story again, like in some aspects, again, like Luke, you mentioned like it's cookie cutter, but I still think like the story was changed well enough to like to still have that effect for me. I still like the concept of, like, you're fighting the X-Knots. The X-Knots are trying to take over the world by controlling this lady. And I like when Gordis gets in the room with at the end of the game. He's like, "I control you." And she's like, "I don't control by anyone." She turns him into a head.
Yeah.
So I think the story aspect was really good. I really loved in this story of this game. I really loved how you can play as Bowser and they kind of make him like a joke almost. Where he's like, "I gotta be the one to save the princess." And then every time you played as him briefly at the beginning, it would be like vintage Mario where you're playing literally the old school Mario where you're running across 2-bit, 8-bit and like get to like kill people and like make it to like the flag at the end and jump on it. I thought there was so many cool aspects to this story that I really enjoyed. I understand, again, there's a lot of parts that look the same as last time. But hey, don't break what you don't have to fix, you right? So I think there's a lot of aspects in that sense, and they added to enough that I thought it was really well done.
And I was going to say, I'm actually a bit, like, it's tough because I agree with you. I think the overarching story was fantastic, but it's just, there were so many similarities. I think I have to give it a 5-2. I don't feel good about giving it a 5 because I just feel like it's so cookie cutter. And when we jump into Origami King next week, we will talk about, like, what they did to change the storyline because they kind of didn't really follow what these guys did, but very, very overlapping, similar between these two. But still, as a standalone game, it's incredible. Like, the storyline, I do think the story is better, but the problem is they basically just said, here's 80% of the story, let's make it 100%. But I'm still going to do it, so I'm still going to toss it a 5 on there. And okay, very interesting. So I landed on a 7.6 for this one, which is higher than 64, which I do stand by. Like I said, I think that they kind of took Mario 64 and almost polished it, wrote a little bit better story, but kept some of the key basics that did so well. So 7.6 for me. And what are you going at? You got
interesting. Surprisingly, I got 8 again. So I think, like I said, don't have to break the game.
No.
You can just keep the same kind of in a lot of ways. And I think, like, again, this kind of speaks truth to it. So I think I really enjoyed the first game. Second game, I think I enjoyed a lot more. And both of them being 8 out of 10 is just a fantastic score. So I'm excited to see what I rate Origami King, and obviously it's RPG, the original reason why this franchise started.
And
so
I'm super excited to talk Origami King too, because I think there's a lot to talk about, and just how the Paper Mario world has evolved over the last 20 years is just going to be a fascinating conversation. On that note, we will catch you guys next week for an all-new episode of the Gameaholic Podcast.
Peace.
Sun is rising, here we are. I didn't think we'd come this far. I just feel it. Well, this is truly where I belong. Making my way down Ocean Drive.